Hey everyone, it's Nellie Thomas here. How are you doing? This is Dear Nellie, Sex, Relationships and Dating from the Other Side of 40. We hope you're loving the podcast as much as we are. A few quick things before we get into the show. For information about our fabulous live shows, which we do semi-regularly, go to nelliethomas.com and follow the links. We've just done a few in Melbourne, one in Sydney, and we'll be back for more early next year in 2024. Now, your listener calls are the backbone of this podcast. They're the best. Chuck out the rest. Take a chance. Send me in your question, your comment, your dating story, regret, anything really. We absolutely love hearing from you, and you can remain anonymous. Follow the links on my website or see the show notes for more information. To support the podcast and keep it coming out for free, please rate it on whatever app you're on now. Just pull it out. Hopefully give it a 5-star rating. That helps other people find it. Tell your mates, share it on socials, do all that stuff. If you can, please join Patreon or Acast Plus for $5 a month and you get a bonus episode every month and some other perks. If you can't, that's also fine. Just keep listening every week for free. We can't do this without yous. Now, this podcast was recorded in the council area known as Maribyrnong in Melbourne. I would like to acknowledge the traditional owners of the land, the Wurundjeri, Woiwurrung and Bunurong peoples of the Kulin Nation, and pay my respects to their elders past, present and emerging. Last but not least, if you're new to the podcast, this is a sex, dating and relationships podcast for adults. Let me put it this way. If you don't like swearing, it's really going to give you the shits. So off you fuck.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Dear Nellie, I could use some advice. Dear Nellie, yeah, some help would be nice. Dear Nellie, I'm eager to hear your point of view. Dear Nellie, there's a lot to explore. Dear Nellie, when you're 40 or more. Dear Nellie, so I'm hoping we can talk it through.
All right, welcome to Dear Nellie, Sex, Relationships and Dating from the Other Side of 40. And we are joined by, how would I describe Celia Pakuola? I mean, I want to say a beauty, but that's sexist and demeaning. So I'll say a talent, a one of a kind talent of her generation, but also fucking hot and tot hottie.
I was just thinking, because beauty can be like just like good, like a bloody beauty.
Your beauty.
Right? Just like kind of not bonza, but like a fish. A fish can be, that's a bloody beauty.
Bloody beauty.
That's not a sexy fish. It's just like, that's a good fish. Happy to be described as a good fish.
You know, I just don't like when women in the public eye, of course we don't, like the focus is on their looks. But yeah. I do also think there is something. I don't mean beauty. You are beautiful in a conventional sense, but I mean you've got a beautiful, I don't know, there's some kind of energy or light or something that I just really connect within you.
Really?
Maybe just a smile.
I'm not nervous about this, but I kind of am, because you have a way of like going directly to my soul, which is terrifying, because I'm just, it can go from how's the weather to me being like, well, actually, when I was 7, this.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's very kind and I appreciate it. But you are also, you know, you've got a, something that can, a warmth and a direct, you know, like a connection, you know, a beam.
If goes. I like you, I do.
Okay. Oh, well, yeah. I'm very happy to be within the beam. And not
yes, very, and me too. So let's start with,
yeah.
I was going to go back and start with your first. So you're a comedian, you're an actor, you're all those things. Is there anything I've missed that's important to you professionally?
No, it's weird. It used to be like stand-up comedian was the first thing, and then obviously I took a step back. I stopped doing that as much when I had a baby, and it initially really hurt my feelings when people would be like, "Oh, did you do stand-up?" And I'm like,
Yeah.
"Oh, yes, that's what I defined as." So, but now I'm it's always somewhere in the comedy and creating space.
Yeah, you're a
Most
performer who's funny.
writing. I think writing's the most important part to me.
Yeah, interesting. Writing which part? Like the stand-up part or other writing?
All of it. I just think that that being able to write something, I don't think I would in I mean, that's what's fun about acting though, is because getting a break from that. Like I like stand up because you can do whatever you want and you're in control. And that's scripted fun as well, because how often in life do you get to control, what you get a chance to just control everything, what everyone says. But then I like acting because it's nice to have someone else tell you what to do, and
Have
you
a
just
mental break.
go, oh yeah,
Yeah,
you just play.
absolutely. And not mull over it. Like what I was going to say is that the place I was going to start with you is your first show that I saw was about infidelity.
Oh yeah, that was my first show.
Right? Mate, well, let's start there. So what, tell us about that show, what had happened. It's obviously relevant to the subject matter. There's lots of people listening who've been cheated on.
Oh,
Go.
welcome. I'm your person. So I love this story because it's how I got into comedy. So I dated a man who was a comedian, and he signed me up for raw comedy. So he is 100% the reason why I got into stand-up. I was doing sketch comedy and stuff.
Yeah.
So there's always a chance that I might have ended up there anyway, but I doubt it. I doubt I ever would have made the step to sign myself up to do it.
Yeah.
So if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have got into comedy. And if it wasn't for him, I wouldn't have had, well, again, something else would have come up, but he gave me the material from
Yeah.
my first show, which won me my first award and made me more successful than him. So it's just delicious. So I was, and the reason I did it as a show, where do I start there? So it was so much cheating. So it turned out he was a, well, he told me he was a sex addict. I don't know. That's a thing that I don't know if I completely understand. But full sociopath, like double digits cheating, and not just sleeping with people, like full other relationships, like other women thought they were in a relationship with him, sort of multiple identities, kind of. It was but it was good because it was so much that it became funny.
So
Like
extreme.
it would hurt
Yes.
more. As I said in the show, it was like if someone fell off a cliff, then that's very sad. But if a full 10-piece marching band marched off a cliff while singing
Yes.
"I Will Survive," that's kind of funny. So it's sort of, but that
And
show,
take me back, if you don't mind, like how, so my memory is this was around the show was what, mid like 2010, something like that.
I'm not good with dates, but yeah, must have been something about that. Maybe even earlier, maybe 2000.
Maybe a bit earlier. So you would have been what in your, when you were in this relationship, how long was it and like what age roughly? You're in your 20s.
Definitely in my 20s. Maybe it was a bit later because I did raw comedy first. I did a four and then a two and then a one. So maybe it was 2010. Mid-20s. Mid-20s. Maybe 2 years. It was a while.
Yeah, couple of years.
It was enough that I was definitely the main girlfriend, you
And
know?
how the hell did he have time
This
to
is
sleep with that many
I don't
people?
know. And this is why he's a not why he's a sociopath, but that's what broke my brain. He's like, how are you
Yeah.
not paralyzed with fear and
Yeah.
anxiety just to keep the logistics at bay from one person not bumping into another one? So one of them I
God.
found out about incredibly. My sister lived in London and she met an Australian, because Australian, you're Australian, I'm
Yeah.
Australian. And they just got to chatting and she was like, oh yeah, my boyfriend's a comedian.
No.
Yeah, to my sister. And she's like, that's my sister's boyfriend, just
Oh,
stuff like that. But he just
goodness.
seemed so, he was so chill all the time and just genuinely, I mean, I'm not inside
Nonplussed.
his mind, but it felt like I don't understand.
So, was that your first serious relationship?
No. No, kind of. The one before that, it was the most serious.
The
It
most serious, yeah.
it
So it's
was
pretty
when,
formative.
yeah, when I, and also it was when I look at it now, it was not abusive, but it was bad, like coercive. There were, he was doing that, emotionally abusive. Actually, it was, I'm gonna say that. Cut me off from my friends, like a few times friends were like, "We don't think he's good for you."
What's
And
going on?
then I would like, "Well, if you love me, you should love him too." And we just stay at home and not doing, like, I was just happy to be with him and he wouldn't really talk to me. And like, when I look at it now, if he'd asked, I'm very grateful that I, that it went the way that it did, because if he'd asked me to marry him, I would have.
Wow.
And that's one of the things he used when I found out, when I got caught. He said to me, "I was gonna ask you to marry me."
Oh yeah,
Like,
right, fuckhead.
yeah,
So
all
he
that.
was breadcrumbing you in the in modern parlance. So he's obviously he's isolated you from friends. He's
Yeah.
rooting around. He's giving you just enough t attention,
Yeah.
to keep you kind of on the hook, but not any real connection.
But I don't know why. I don't understand why he needed a main one like me. I don't know what he was,
You will
what
never understand,
out
right? This is
of.
a
No.
really critical juncture in this conversation, I reckon, because if you've ever been in an abusive or toxic or whatever word you want to call it
I think toxic's
relationship,
a better word. I think that's a good,
toxic,
yeah.
in a toxic, you will turn yourself inside out trying to work out their motivation. Unless you are also a sociopath or a narcissist or whatever he is, you'll never understand it.
And it's crazy making, like, the number of
Yeah.
times I got close in the past to catching him, and he'd always go, like, he got seen out flirting. Like, oh, someone was like, "I think I saw them making out," and I'd be like, and I'd point that to him, and he would always go, "How dare, I'm so hurt that you
Yes.
accuse me,
Yes.
maybe you're cheating," and then
Yes.
somehow in this bizarre relation, I'm suddenly apologizing.
Yeah.
Right. So the
Yeah.
best thing that happened, which I really feel for people who don't get this, that fi in the end, he finally admitted it, because he, I, there was a point when I thought he wouldn't. Like, I had hard evidence. I had evidence, and he still was like, no. And in the end, I got, I must have had a shred of something. I went, "If there's a chance, if you want," this is when I'd only found out about two, by the way, and then I found out about the rest.
Multiples, yeah.
And I was like, "If you ever, if there's a chance for us at all, just, you just need to." And once he went, "All right," there was that one, at least, it just was such a relief.
At least you knew. I think it's so you know I love a meme, Celia Pecola,
Yeah.
and one that I have quoted on the podcast before, which really resonated with me, was a narcissist's accusations are their confessions.
Right.
Right? So if someone is standing there going to go, well, are you cheating, Celia? You're the one running around. You're lying, or you're there's something wrong with you. What they're actually telling you potentially when your gut is screaming at you, and indeed you've got evidence, they're telling you what they're doing.
But yeah, I guess because they're a narcissist. But if the fact that I went to them going, "Are you cheating?" But I wasn't. I'm just trying
No,
to.
no, no. But that's a tactic of kind of like the wound, the ego is so activated then. And the
Yeah.
defense mechanisms kicking in of kind of go, how
How dare
very
you?
dare you?
It was so, I mean, I want to think it's calculated, but then sometimes I just go, I wonder if he was just, it was just on the fly,
You'll
because
never know, babe.
yeah.
You'll
And
never
oh,
know.
how's this for, oh, this is a sliding door. So Kelly Stuka, friend of both of ours, is the one who actually got me out in the end. She was the one who got proof,
Yeah.
because she'd seen other friends try and talk to me and me shut them out. So she's like, "I need to have irrefutable proof, blah, blah." So she cracked one of the women who he was sleeping with, who admitted it, went, "Here's an email. Yes, it's happening. I don't want to talk about it." Anyway, so when I broke up, when I took it to him, I drove to his house and I was very dramatic. This is, oh, it makes me sick. He'd given me a ring and I took it off and I put it in his hand and I went, "I know." Anyway, and we had this big old blah, blah, blah. And then halfway through this, maybe an hour of him going, "She's crazy," showing me text messages from her going, "Look, this is her making it up. She's mad at me because whatever." I realized that I had a little dictaphone at the time that I'd been using for gigs, and I'd had a gig that night and I'd recorded it, the
Oh,
whole of
wow.
it. And he saw it and he's like, "Is that recording?" And I was like, What? Yeah, I don't care. And deleted it in front of him.
Wow.
I would have had it. I'd be fascinated. I mean, it'd probably be very not good for healing to listen to it now, but I
No,
almost.
because you know what? I think, and this is so common in these situations, doesn't matter if it's romantic, a friend, family member, like any kind of relationship where you're dealing with someone's behavior that's so extreme, particularly if they really, I mean, narcissism is overused, right? But this sounds like apt in this case. You want to understand, like you want to know, how can you do this? Why did you do this? What's the motive? You will never get it. And the lesson, which is fucking hard, is to kind of go, let it go. I will never get it. That doesn't mean you have to let go of feeling the pain of it, but trying to
Well,
understand impossible unless you're that.
yeah, it was interesting because this ended up, I just did this naturally. But it did it, the show and dealing with it did end up being like the five stages of grief, which was really,
Yes.
I remember the moment
Yes.
when, because I was, when I first found out, I was so upset that this awful thing had happened to us.
Yeah.
How sad for us and him and all of this sadness. And then I remember the turning point when I went, hang on, no, it's not something sad that's happened to us. It's something terrible he has done to
That he
me.
did. Yeah.
And then, got angry, and angry was so much better.
Yes.
Anger
Yes.
was just really great.
Anger is underrated, Celia, right? It's so underrated. Now, that doesn't mean no one wants anyone to go and punch anyone or be abusive or anything like that. But if you're denying anger when anger is warranted and having some asshole gaslight you, undermine your confidence, separate you from your friends, cheat on you, every right to be angry.
And then he'd admitted it, so I was allowed to be angry. I think that would have made it worse if, yeah, terrible if he'd not let me. It's weird. It doesn't matter. Even when you know, isn't that crazy? Even though I knew it was real, but if he'd just kept denying it, there's something about it that doesn't let you have the full thing. And then, but I was still sort of scared of him because of that. And then afterwards, I was like, oh shit, actually, I don't know what this guy's capable of at all. I didn't know you. I would have thought. This is what I thought your limits were as a person, but now
Yes.
actually, I don't know.
Oh,
So,
isn't that horrifying? There'll be so many people listening who, even not with the same details, I think a lot of ex people experience divorce like that, where 6 months later, 12 months later, 5 years later, whatever, they kind of go, I don't even know who I was married to. Now I don't know what you're capable, which is why we always say, no matter how amicable, for example, with housing and custody and whatever, you need a lawyer. Like you just do, because you do not know how they will behave in 12 months.
It was really interesting. But so with the show, I remember being very kind to him in the show, like, and I think I sent him the script. I was just scared of what he'd do or try and because he was at that point more known in the industry. And but the other thing he did, speaking of lawyers, which it just is a thing, there was a some sexual footage on a camera, which is in another show. It was shitty on a Nokia. It's nothing to do, which was entirely him. And he was very sexed up. Yeah, he was very, anyway, what's the word I'm looking for?
Sex focused.
More than I, and pressure, not physical or anything like that, but just quite, definitely wasn't my idea. Let's put it that way to put anything else in. And then I'd forgotten about it and I remembered after we'd broken up and then got in touch with him. And he turned up and gave me a broken SIM card in a plastic pocket, which absolutely wasn't the SIM card. Like, there's no way. I'm sure he still got it something. And
Wow.
me and my mum got a lawyer involved. And
Good.
I think he signed the thing. I think he signed, he didn't have to. I don't know, but it's just one of those things where I was like, at the time, loved, like, probably it's much, I would have been in more danger now, would have been on, could have been online, could have done all of this stuff with it, and I would
Totally.
have done more stuff, and because I loved it, like, because at the time it absolutely never would have occurred to me that.
Do you know what? This is a sidebar, but it's a really interesting thing that hasn't come up before on the podcast. I have, and this is a much bigger conversation, but I have for a range of reasons, probably mostly from when I was doing sex ed shows with kids and, stuff about consent. I have a lot of concerns about porn. Like, that's not unusual for a woman of my age and a feminist. But I think the retort is often, well, the amateur porn or the whatever is better because this is couples who have consented and they've put it up. It's not some 18-year-old who's been dragged from somewhere. But this is my concern, right? Having worked in family violence, I know 100% you do not know, even when you're watching amateur porn, if they both consented, how much coercion there was, whether permission was given to put it online. Even if they haven't been physically forced, have they been talked into it? Are they scared not to? All of that kind of stuff. Like, I get porn. I get it. It's sexy watching people have sex. But for me personally, maybe this is an anxiety and a feminist thing. I can't watch it without going, is she all right? Are they meant to be there? Is he feeling okay? Who do I can't. You know what I mean?
100%.
And really, from what you've said, like in another situation, another time, that could have been you, is what I'm saying. And you're not stupid.
Well,
No, you're not. You're a clever
no.
woman.
Yeah, it's yeah, I can absolutely see how that would happen, and it's all tied up. Because I get it. It's
Tell
all
me
because you go,
after
oh, you.
that, go through this. That's a really hideous, awful experience, particularly at that age, at any age, but at that age when you're really forming who you are and your sense of trust and all that kind of stuff. Did it impact you moving forward in terms of relationships?
So that's the other thing that I thought. I was like, how am I ever going to be in another relationship again? Because
And
how could I be
trust.
so wrong?
Yeah.
So wrong. It got so bad. Like by the
Yeah.
end, I was like, how did it almost, and as I say, I would have married it. Like just because you got, I just happened to get out. So terrifying. But what happened was the next person that I was with happened to be the most joyous, beautiful, trustworthy person in the world that it just wasn't an issue. Like, and it was very
Oh,
much him specific. It wasn't,
how
I trust men
lovely.
again. I just met a person and went, oh, you are good. That
Yeah.
I'm wrong. You're just good. And they were, and it was great. And it didn't. And as I say, I think it also helped because the story of his cheating was so extreme.
Yes.
It felt less about me. It felt less personal. I was like, well, that's clearly you. If it was just one person who was kind of like me, and they left me for someone else, and they were actually quite nice about it, and I feel like that would have been worse than, oh, this man. That's anything with the pulse.
No, that's completely, it's pathological and
So
is absolutely no, it would have cheated on anybody.
it wasn't too bad. I've never, and also weirdly, you might, this is make this is makes no sense, but my mind goes, well, it can't possibly happen to me again.
Yeah, right, good.
I mean, the chances of that happening to me again is very unlikely.
Well, that extreme unlikely. You know, it's really lovely. So the next guy that you dated, the one that you trusted and was lovely, there's a concept, the therapeutic concept called healing in relation.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, for example, you might have had friend Nellie at that age going, Celia, don't jump into another thing because you're not ready yet and you need to heal. There's a school of thought that goes, in the right circumstances, you can actually heal each other.
Yeah.
Right. So if you've got a trust wound, for example, and he's just really uncomplicated, loving, trusting, yes, you still have to do work yourself, but having that affirmed via a relationship can really help you.
Yeah. I can't remember how soon after I was with him when I was doing this show. I remember that. I remember him coming to a trial of this show and being of that show
Yeah.
about that theater and being like, that's amazing. Oh, that's another bad thing about this guy. I'm just saying,
Yeah.
we place this as
Oh.
bags for anyone.
Yeah.
This was also part of my pattern, which I tried to not do after this, but I'm not proud of this. But I used to get in relationships and immediately tell them all of the terrible things that had happened to me and go,
Oh, yes.
pick me, make me feel better. Say to me, that's never going to happen to you again, and be
Yes.
enamored by how vulnerable and broken I am. Like,
Yes.
that's just what I just did it. Is
Trauma bonding.
that what it's called? Right, that. And this guy, the cheater guy, I remember. Went, I couldn't, because I can't believe it was like, I wish you hadn't told me that. I hate that I know these things about you.
Wow. Well, there you go. Look, you were young. This is one of the great things about dating later in life or with a bit more life experience under your belt, you wouldn't do that again.
No, that, yeah, and that was the, I think that was the
Right?
last.
You were learning, you
Yeah.
made some mistakes, and sharing that, I agree. I think that is, if you share, I mean, you can overshare, no doubt, and try not to do that. Because I think, especially like first, second, third date, a lot of people do that. But if you do share something and someone kind of goes, oh, I see you really like different now, or bro, off you fuck. See
Yeah.
ya.
Yeah.
We're done.
It's just all things like that was like a power thing. It just
Yeah,
felt was
power.
added to the status of him being like, oh, I'm moving. Oh no, I'm gonna lose it. What have I done? You know.
Yeah. And if I can do one more Dr. Phil on you,
I love it.
because I am exactly the same as you, well, have been in the past the same. You know, we talk about fight and flight. There's also freeze and fawn,
Fawn, mate. Fawn.
right?
Fawn all day long.
So when I hear you going, oh, I sent him the script and da 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 da, I'm like, oh yeah, I've done that. I've done that. Like my the first book I wrote, I did the same thing with a couple of people who didn't deserve it. Right. And it's and you don't realize you're trying to manage their potential abuse.
Yeah, I hate, it's awful.
Yeah.
I don't know how to stop doing it in everything, just in conversation, just in polite to not be like that, a moment of silence or awkwardness. I just
Well,
can't,
once you know,
oh no, I
but
said,
now that you know that you do it, I would venture you wouldn't do it to such an extreme degree now. Right? The next time, let's say you thought I better send my script to so and so, you could at least you'd at least catch it and kind of go, do I have to do that? Maybe I should get advice from a friend. You know, you're at least aware of it. That's a better chance than when you didn't even know fawn was a stress response.
Yeah, I don't know. There's a lot of stuff where it's like, well, knowing, you know, what it is the first step. I'm like, that's a lot of the times as far as I get.
Yeah, I get
Like,
it.
sometimes it makes it worse because you're like, well, I know what I'm doing is bad, but I guess can't
And now I feel silly.
stop doing it, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
The other thing I'll say about the next guy who was so lovely, I remember this. It wasn't me jump, like I chased him as well. It wasn't like some guy turned up and swept me off my feet. I just was like, this man is the
Yeah.
best. And he was, and he remained the best. And what was our undoing was our career and long distance. So that was what happened with
Yeah.
that.
So nothing, I mean, not that at the end of any relationship can be painful, but nothing like dramatic and
No.
as painful as, you know, multiple cheaters. Can I bring you forward? Because I find this fascinating. So I went to your show last night and I already knew this story, but it was lovely seeing it played out, and we will of course put a link into the show notes. This is your new show for comedy, Melbourne Comedy Festival, and various other places. And you tell the story, and I remember you telling me this at the time.
Oh, yeah.
You fell in love with a man during lockdown. You fell in love online, like you declared love before having ever met.
That is correct.
Talk to me, talk to me.
Madness. It's so funny. I'm trying to think of that time. It was mad. Yeah. So we met, it was towards the end. He lived in Sydney. Actually, the borders were open. We met on an app. And I'd just done a long distance relationship and I've decided I'm never doing that again. This is another side note, another big learning thing for me is I'd realized that I'd done a lot of long distance and actually I don't think I'd been in a real relationship. Like
Because
an
long
actual
distance,
committed.
we've had this discussion, but I think that's fascinating. Long distance can be a way of going, I don't need anything.
Yeah, or
I'll
wait,
wait, whatever.
be in a
Yeah.
relationship,
Yeah.
but still do exactly whatever the fuck I want.
Yep.
I can leave at any time. It's not entangled.
Yep.
I'm actually not in this. I can just, it just means I've got the
Yes.
clock checked and
I'm half in.
I'd been doing that. So I came out of that relationship and realized that and was like, I might not be in another relationship again. Who knows? I was 37.
Yeah.
But if I am, the next one, I'm actually going to give it a chance. I've got to be all in and see what happens, right? And then I went on this app and the first person that comes up was in Sydney. And I'm like, no way, not
Yeah.
again, never
Yeah.
again. But I'll just practice flirting with this.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks later, I'm like, damn it, I quite like this guy. And then he's like, I'm going to come and visit you. We're going to have a date. And we booked it on a have you been paying attention night so that I'd have my hair and makeup done. I was like, I'm
Beautiful.
coming on a Sunday. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the bloody Bondi cluster happened and the wall went up.
Oh.
Never came down. So we were in an online relationship for 3 months and we ended up FaceTiming for, I'm not exaggerating, 8 hours a day. Like, and it'd just be on. I'd just
Wow.
have it on while we'd sleep. I'd have a nap and he'd be working and I'd be working. And yeah, in a boyfriend and girlfriend within a month, and then in love in 2 months, and then talking about having a baby without having met. Everything else is fine except for that. But obviously, we'd seen each other a lot, but there's things that you don't know, like if they smell weird or
Yeah.
if they're a bad kisser or just.
The chemistry.
Yeah.
Pretty
And
much
then.
you've done everything I advise against, and I love it. I absolutely love it
You mean?
because you know what?
What do you not do to
To not rush in that
Oh,
quickly
yeah.
to make sure, you know, all the things. But having said that, like there's always an outlier, right? And sometimes you're going to do what you're going to do. I have a question for you. Did he know who you were?
No, but
Oh, see, that's nice.
he did pretty soon, like
Yeah.
he immediately, because this is also what is kind of sucks but great, is there's
Yeah.
so much material of me. So he didn't know who I was, and then he watched everything,
Yeah.
but then still wanted to talk to me. Like my stand-up is
Yeah.
often not flattering. So he was watching me talk about my hairy ass crack and still wanted to talk to me. So I'm like, cool. This, you know what he knows what he's getting. On the other side, he's a photographer, so there was nothing out there for me to find of his,
Yeah.
of him.
Yeah.
So he, but it was just, I don't know how it escalated so quickly.
And now he's taking photos of your hairy ass crack.
That's right. Not anymore. Laser. Got laser.
Laser. Okay.
So,
All right. All right. Sorted. Got it. Got it. Did you go bleach? Did you
no,
under
God, no.
bleach?
No. Just laser. Just because I'm like,
Okay.
what
So you're
am
not really that committed to this relationship, is what you're saying.
I? Oh, no. It's not for him. I did that before. I did that before I met him. No, he, yeah. So he,
So you couldn't stalk him online, really?
not really. But we talked all the time and it was so cute. Like, it'll make you sick how cute it was. But I've got, if anyone, get in touch with me, if anyone's in a long distance relationship and wants ideas of how to be cute when you can't actually be in the
Do you
same
know
room.
what? That stuff doesn't make me sick. Like, I know it does make some people sick. This sounds really twee, but I mean it. I love love. You know, like if I see two people, like I had friends over the other night to watch Maths, which is a whole other embarrassing story.
Yeah.
But they are, you know, they've been together maybe 6 months. They're both roughly my age, you know, love in the afternoon of their life kind of situation, and they're so smoochy and touchy feely, and I love it. Like they're kind of embarrassed. I'm like, you go for it. I mean, don't be bloody Kourtney Kardashian. That's too far. Don't lick my tongue at the bloody dinner table with the kids there. But if you're gonna hold hands and be smoochy and say nice things to each other, I think it's delightful.
Oh, good. Well, it was really cute.
Shit in the
Things like,
world, Celia.
yeah, it was like, but also it needed to be because it was a real sad time. We'd been through
Yeah,
lockdown,
exactly.
really sucked, and I really didn't want to do it again, and I'll be alone again, and so it was a joy. It was finding new little, sending jokes, sending a lot of pranks
Beautiful.
and emails and stuff. But one of them was very cute, where he sent me a grocery shop.
Yeah.
And he had the same things, and we cook, because I can't cook and he can. So we cooked a meal together at the same time. So he
Oh my
took me through
God.
the instructions. It was very sweet.
Who is this man?
I know he's a good cook. I know.
That's no, but it's not just about being a good cook. That's actually really thoughtful and
Yeah,
romantic.
that's what it, yeah, it was.
You know, it's like people kind of get stuck on, well, what can I do for a date? Like, I haven't got $500 for a fancy dinner and cocktail. If I can do that,
Yeah, it was cute.
here's five ingredients. Let's cook it together.
I sent him my perfume,
Yes, yeah, much sweet.
and he sent me one of his, a hoodie of his with his client on it. So stuff like was cute.
The pheromones, the pheromone.
Yeah.
And we flash forward, you two had a baby, for Christ's
Yeah.
sake.
So in terms of not rushing into it, so there's
Yeah.
that. We're in love without having met. And then we met, but this is the thing. So I flew there to meet him, and the wall was still up. So I didn't know when I was going to be able to come home. So that was the risk of, like, if this doesn't work, then I'm stuck there. But let's give it a shot. Anyway, pregnant 2 months later.
Wow.
So I won't tell you the story. The very, it was very romantic, of the first actual meeting, which was beautiful. It's the whole thing, which I'll put in my romantic comedy film one day, I'm sure.
Please.
But it was. We just didn't think it would happen that we, it was always, it wasn't a joke, but it kind of was, being like,
Yeah.
and it was honest. I've never seriously wanted to have a baby with anyone. I've always been like, oh, I just don't think it's going to happen. I've never met someone and gone, this is the person I'm going to have a baby with. The last relationship, he had kids and didn't want any more. And I was like, perfect. Maybe this is what my story is I've got kids in my life, but they're not my kids. Fine. And this was the first one where I was like, it wasn't a scary thought. I was the thought of having a kid with him was like, oh yeah, maybe. And I didn't think it would happen because I know how hard it is.
You reckon you'll get married?
I don't care. He
really
said he wants to, but I don't give. Oh, we've got a kid. Like, I feel like it's a party. Right?
Oh, totally. Yeah, no, I've never been married and I had a 20-year relationship. We had kids and a mortgage. That's married.
Yeah, that's what I
as
think.
I'm
too.
Concerned. Having said that, Celia, no one's ever given me towels.
What?
Right? Or crystal.
Yeah, right.
So I wouldn't mind that party.
Well, that's what I think. I've said to him because also there's been a lot of wedding. There was a lot of weddings last year and stuff. So I'm like, we'll get married when we need a party, when the world needs a party.
Yeah.
Like, there's.
Yeah.
Kelly Stook is the next one. She's my last best friend to get married.
Yeah.
Her bestest mensch, and that'll be a big, I can't wait. So then maybe a couple of years when everyone's, when we need a bit of a celebration.
I'm putting in a vote for this year because I'm 50 and I'm too tight to have a party. So I'll just like happy 50th myself at your wedding. And you
You have to have a party for your 50th.
I know I should. We'll get on to that. I'm going to move you on. You're coming back because there's so much more to your story.
Okay.
But we have a segment called Armchair Expert where I put something to you from the internet because we're old ladies.
Okay.
And this is from Word Porn, and I just want to see how it hits you. Letting someone create a false narrative of you is a small price to pay for having rid yourself of their toxicity. Let them say what they want. Your life will flourish and their lies will rot theirs.
Ooh.
Now, extreme, but I'm talking, and you're in a more extreme version because you're a public figure, but pretty much anyone who's been through a breakup, whether it's family relationship, friendship, romantic, whatever, you know that there's a narrative about you being presented that you can't control. How do you deal with that?
I hate it.
Yeah,
I'd
right.
I get it when
you want to be zen.
It's none of your business.
Yeah.
You can't control it. No one, not everyone's going to like you. I know, but it.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I don't believe that. Like, I don't. I do care. I totally
Has it shifted as you've gotten older? Like, do you care less?
I'd like to think so. It depends who it is. Some people I really care about. Like,
yeah,
just ignore it. It doesn't happen to me too much. I've got really good close friends, I think, I don't know.
Yeah, you do.
But it's very, very important to me. It's
yeah,
more
right.
important to me than a lot of things. Like, I would much rather be respected and liked in my field and in my worlds than win the awards or make the big money.
You want the validation. I think one of the best bits of advice that I ever got that I'll share with you was because there was a situation with an extended family situation where someone didn't like me and I, well, multiple probably, and I would get really fixated on it and that fawn thing would click in. I think I'll win them over. This is much younger, my 20s. And then someone said to me, why are you seeking respect from people you don't respect?
Yeah.
And fuck, that landed. Because I'm the same as you. I'm not a robot. If I hear someone I respect, like if I heard that you said to someone else, oh, shit, Nelly's podcast is shit, like of course it would hurt me. You know, like I don't think we can be immune to that. But I think the the question for me, and I think you and I are similar in this respect, is to go, but who's talking?
That's it. I don't care about, you know, people on the internet. I don't respect their opinion. You know,
Even a colleague whose opinion you don't respect, or a friend of a friend, or a family member, or whatever. It's like, actually go through that exercise of sitting down and going, do I respect how they live?
Yeah.
Do I respect their work? Do I respect their choices? If I don't, why am I fixated on their opinion?
And it's like, I don't need, it's nice, but it's not that I want validation from them. I just don't want negativity from them. That's what I don't want to be. I don't want to be a person that if I called someone, they'd look at their phone and go, ugh.
Yeah, right. Right.
Me?
Yeah.
But it does depend who it is. But yeah, you're completely right. I think and I think someone else told me a thing like when you're getting criticism, it's like the ones that hurt the most are the ones that is your secret fear?
Do you know what I mean? I think there's some truth in that. I reckon it's overplayed as well. Cause I think something like personally I think it is you know, that even that Buddhist idea of kind of complete detachment. To me, that is almost sociopathic. Like, I love listening to the podcast and the meditation and all that kind of stuff, but human beings are not completely detached.
Yeah.
And I don't even aspire to be completely detached. I aspire to be attached to the right amount, you know? Because the truth is, doesn't matter how nice a person you are, there will be someone who doesn't like you. There will be someone telling stories about you that aren't true.
Yeah.
And there's a point at which you have to, I think, try at least, if not let that go, to not fixate on it.
Yeah, I think it probably has gotten better for a few reasons. One, I just don't have as much time.
Or energy. You've got a kid.
I just don't have time to think about that stuff. And also I think you're more comfortable in there's more good runs on the board. Do you know what I mean?
Like, you've got to trust your reputation.
That's it. There's enough. Yeah.
And there is enough. And I think for people listening particularly who are going through breakups and they think, oh, my ex is out there telling so-and-so that this and that and for their point of view, just trust. I get it. But trust that most people, when they hear any ex story, go, I don't know the other side.
Yeah.
Like almost all of us, even someone that you love,
yeah,
you'd be going, I don't know their point of view. They take it with a grain of salt. And either way, you can't stop them.
Yeah.
You know, like
so
control
many people.
The controllables.
There's heaps more other people.
Yeah.
Cut them loose. You don't need to just start fresh with a new person.
Yeah.
Who does know you.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very good how you do that because I forget because we have a chat and then I forget that there's people listening in different situations. That was very good.
Well, I think it's one of the big fears because, I mean, particularly the most acute version is what if you're divorced and a co-parent is shit-talking you to your kids, right? That's, to me, that's like, I don't know how you let that go, emotionally, I mean.
Yeah.
But then there's ripple effects of, you know, ex-in-laws or mutual friends or all of that kind. And even if it's not acrimonious, they're absolutely telling the breakup story and the relationship narrative from their point of view.
So
you can't control it.
If you can't control it, but if you heard someone telling lies about you, is it harmful or beneficial? You'd go and set the record straight, wouldn't you?
Do you know what? I don't. I actually don't. I'm not talking about my long-term relationship here. Let me be clear about that. Because I don't want that implied that that's what's happening, but I have been in that situation. And what I chose to do, I think, because I am, as I'm getting older, trying to not engage in that, don't put your energy where it's not useful. I just went, well, obviously I've got a really different version of events.
Oh, very cool.
Left it at that. And that's actually what I felt.
Yeah.
Cause I thought if I sit and argue each point,
yeah,
for a start, I don't want to shit can anybody. I really don't.
Yeah.
But also arguing each point, it's boring for the other person.
Yeah.
And frankly, you look hysterical.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So I'm just like, that's not how I see it, but no worries.
That's very cool. It's power play as well. You come off very strong.
Well, I think, and to be honest with you, Celia, in that the situation I'm thinking of, I felt strong about it. I thought I can't control that.
Yeah.
And I, if you trust yourself that you've acted with integrity, that's all you can do.
And also, it sucks to be them. Do you know what I mean? It sucks to be that person telling lies and getting like, really?
Okay. Why are you still talking about me? Yeah.
Obsessed. Totally. Get over me. I know.
I know. It's so difficult. That was a friend situation, by the way, which is a whole different thing. But anyway. Are you ready to offer some listener advice?
Yes.
I'm going to play you a call.
Hi, Nelly. I just wanted to share my recent dating experience. I had my beautiful niece move in with me. She, who's 25. She moved interstate just here for 2 months. And in that time, she's like, okay, you've been separated for 5 years. You've been officially divorced for 1 year. I'm dating now. I'm going to see, like, I'm in a new city. I want you to date next to me. I'll help you with your profile. Like, we'll sort it out. So from the 1st of October to the 31st of October, I set myself a challenge of I'm going to date in that period. I'm not going to ghost anyone. If I do date someone and they're not the one for me, I'll be an adult and I will communicate that to them in a kind way. And so I did it. I got a profile set up. I tweaked it. I reckon the first week it took a while for me to tweak bits and pieces. What I would recommend is something that you recommend in both of your podcasts, and that is to just be really honest about who you are and show who you are physically, you know, and none of these like, oh, just take a photo from like the sternum up. I'm a large 16 at the moment. I don't want guys to turn up and go, oh, you look different than your pictures. Very honest. I'm also a very quirky person. And this time around, because I have been on the apps a couple of times before this, other times I have been, I now look back and it makes me feel sick and embarrassed, really, that I was actually trying to project or do a sales pitch, trying to find what these men wanted from me rather than saying, this is who I am, take it or leave it. So now for example, I think one of the things, I was on Hinge at the time, and one of the questions was like, what's an irrational fear that you have? And mine was that, you know, a very close loved one would die and they would ask that I spread their ashes, you know, at a beach or off a cliff or wherever, and that as I'm tossing them into the ocean, tears tripping down my face, the wind would blow the opposite way and they'd end up in my mouth. So things like that, you would think, like, that's what I say with my friends and my family. Like, that's just who I am. I'm a weirdo. But I added it because, you know what, the guys that I actually ended up attracting were so beautiful. This is not one of those voice clips where I tell you that I found my loved one that's my soulmate and we're going to be together forever. I finished on the 31st. I went on 6 dates over that period, maybe a bit more. There were 6 guys I dated. I don't know how many actual dates were in there. But I share all of this because I'm not dating anymore, but I see on a lot of these singles pages, like, and we've got a page here in Queensland, are we dating the same guy or boyfriend, or do we have the same boyfriend or something? The negativity, we see so much bad in this space and how crap being a woman is in this dating world, but I enjoyed every minute of the dating. The reason I'm not dating anymore, I didn't find the person, we did not have the chemistry. We got on, the banter was awesome, but one of the guys who was like, I would say the number one out of the people, like I got on well, really well with him. There was a moment on the last date where we're walking along South Bank along the river. We'd just been to the art gallery, laughed the whole time. He was amazing. His hand accidentally brushed mine as we're walking. Totally by accident. It was not being a creep, just like you bump your hand. And I leapt, like my hand subconsciously just kind of went, ugh! And I leapt to the left like Kramer in Seinfeld when he does like massive movements and you're like, you laugh about it. But he looked at me, I looked at him and I'm like, yeah, I don't think I'm ready to date. And it was a moment, he was beautiful, everything was fine. We're actually friends now, funnily enough. But I share this with everyone because I went, okay, I got to the 31st, I did that moment, I'll go back. You don't have to be on the apps this whole time like a second job, you know, like just when it's not fun anymore or you come to a moment where you're like, I've got to stop for a minute and take stock and work out what's going on here and heal, just do it. And it's now January, and I'm starting to feel like, not right this second, but very soon I'll be ready to turn my profile back on and know the next time around that I'll just give it a red hot crack. And what's the worst that can happen? You know, like, obviously you can get murdered. We don't want that to happen. But, you know, like, in terms of putting yourself out there, I just really am excited to be out in the world again. And oh, my God, to be seen again. Like, I didn't realize how invisible I had become. And it wasn't because of anyone else but myself. I had made myself invisible because I was in such deep grief. So, yeah, I just wanted to share that. I hope it.
Oh,
what's her name?
God, she didn't give her name, but I love that bitch.
Oh my gosh!
Come on, wow. Don't you like? I just want to have a beer with her.
Yeah, what a good news story as well. Like,
isn't just it like, beautiful? Yeah. But I also love Celia, and in a weird way, this is why I love your work. That just occurred to me.
Mm-hmm.
It is, aside from your skill and all that stuff, and it's funny. It's that mix of optimism but also vulnerability, right? There's no kind of like everything's fine, but it's also not, oh, my God, how fucked is everyone and I hate the world.
Yeah, it was real because it feels beautiful. Feels real. That's what.
Very real.
It feels real but positive. Like that feels, because there can be real. Sometimes it's also very enjoyable to be negative in a telling it like it is, like actually being honest about how bad things are. But that was honest in a way, being like, it's been hard.
Yeah.
It's not easy, but it can be a really positive thing to do.
Yes.
She just sounds, that's just wonderful. What a great message, which is, just do what's right for you. Try it a bit. You don't have to put pressure on yourself. And about being seen, that's so great. I'm so happy for her.
Yes.
It feels like that's positive moving forward. I'm not sad that, you know, I'm not like, oh, she hasn't met someone. I'm like, no, that's great. Sounds like she's having a nice time and got a friend. That's harder. Try making a new friend in your 40s, you know?
Yeah. I made some friends on the apps. I think that's a lovely, like, side outcome from it. I think I hear a few things in it that I love. I think the main thing, the way that I would describe it is, she's obviously done a lot of work, internal work, emotional, psychological work. She's got insight, right? So even that story, which is both heartbreaking and beautiful, of walking along and then him accidentally brushing her hand, and she's obviously having a trauma response of some kind, for her to recognize that and not go, oh, it's all right.
Yeah.
Oh, it's fine. To kind of go, oh, that's telling, like, my body's telling me something. I'm not here yet.
I actually had that on a date, on a first date. A guy said that mid-date. He was clearly sort of panicking. He just went, I can't, like, I don't know what was going on. It was fine. I was like, that's fine.
Yeah,
like,
right.
And it happened. We're just sitting over drinking. He's just like, well, actually, it's a lot. It's too much enough. Yeah.
And that's okay. And that's to be respected. And I like that she had enough respect for herself to then not fawn, to not make it nice, to not make him feel better. Not that she was awful to him, but to acknowledge and kind of go, oh, this is telling me something. I'm not ready.
Yeah.
I love it.
I love it. It's great.
And I also love, which is advice that I often give. I haven't suggested a niece, but there you go. If you've got a niece old enough, for someone to help you put your profile together, at the very least, let them go to someone whose opinion you trust and who loves you and run your photos by them, your texts by them, that kind of, does it convey who I am? Because I really recognize her saying, and I reckon you will too, even unconsciously writing what you think people want to hear.
Of course. I think
rather than who you are.
Point about selling yourself when it's not, it's not about that. And also what she didn't mention, but she was like, it's about saying who I am. But also I think you're allowed to say actually what you want.
Correct.
As well.
And it won't be for everyone.
No.
Right? So if you get on there and you, and I'm not saying this is her, but if you get on there and you say, I'm size 18, I am divorced, I have 3 children and I want an open relationship. Okay. Heaps of people won't want that. Good. You haven't wasted your time or their time.
Yeah.
But if that's actually what you're after, say it.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't be a generally guy. Get on there and be like, I'm looking for a relationship. If you're
not. If you're looking for casual, say casual.
That's fine. Everything's fine. Everything totally. Is totally allowed and fine.
Just don't lie about it. And I also love, 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 love the kooky Ashes story. Because, yeah. I can see it. But also I think if I matched with her on a dating profile, I'd think, I can tell you kooky, great, because I like kooky. But also I've got something to ask you about.
Yeah.
Right? So why are you fixated on death? Yeah. Or what is it about ashes? What is it about that image? Like, where did this come from?
Yeah.
Rather than, hey.
Yeah.
Hey.
How's your weekend?
Hey. We've both been there. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Hey, how's your weekend? What's up? What you up to?
Yeah.
God, what are you up to is the worst.
Oh, my God. But also, what are you up to? Then you answer and they reply 3 days later.
Yeah.
No. I'll give you 24 hours.
Like Luke McGregor said to me, who got me on the day on the app that I met my partner, it only has to work once.
Correct. Exactly right.
It might be shit until one is good. But I also agree with dipping in and out when it's too much, when you tap out for a bit, just be like, no, because it can be a full-time job, like she said.
It can. And I think where she's really clever as well, if you find yourself on your way to dates, kind of going, who can be bothered? Like, this is going to go to shit.
Yeah, I did that.
You're not in the right headspace, right? Yeah. Actually, then just go to yourself, just have a month off.
Yeah.
2 months off, 3 months off. What's the rush?
Yeah.
You know, give yourself the space. That's telling you something.
Yeah.
Because there are great people. And as much as we hear that there's a lot of heteropessimism, frankly, like there's a lot of women in particular who ring in and they kind of say to me, well, it's all right for you. You don't have to date dudes. You know? And I'm like, yeah, I get that, but I have dated dudes. And also I know men on the apps who are lovely. I know them. Yeah. They might be harder to find. I don't know. But like Luke said, you only need the one.
Yeah. Yeah. And also in terms of they're out there in the weirdest places as well. So the app that I was on is a fancy app for not celebrity, but it's for fan. Yeah. You have to, which I got put on because I was like, why not? Because I have a fear of people dating me as a dare. Because as a joke and being like, oh, funny, and that's my image as them.
Because I saw her on TV. Can you get a date with her?
Funny.
Yeah.
So, and then this app wasn't for me either because it was all like stunning model people on yachts and half of them were in LA and blah, blah, blah. And I just leaned into not being that. So my profile photo was me hugging a donkey in a
love.
And my partner was the only person on there who looked like a normal, like a real person.
Yeah, right.
Because
that particular app, my memory of that is that it's full of influencers.
Yeah, yeah.
And you may as well slide into their DMs.
Well, yeah, I'm just,
you know?
The guy.
If I match with someone and they're like a civilian, I'm thrilled.
Yeah.
It's like I would write, but anyway, that's another thing. I'm very conscious of your time, so I want to finish with two segments, my favorites. One is No Shade on My Ex, where I absolutely encourage you to shade an ex, stupid thing an ex did. Yeah. And the other one is They're a 10 Baht. So it's that TikTok thing where it's like you could be on a date with like the hottest guy you can think of, and then they do something, and you're like, oh no, I'm out.
I'm sure this is a very common one, and I'm sure you've had this before with the I'm a 10 Baht, I'm out. Is it rude to waiting staff?
100%. Almost always start with that. Let's go to another one, more superficial.
Oh, shit. More superficial. Walk too slow. Walk on the wrong side of me. What's really superficial?
What is it about walking too slow?
I don't know. I'm a fast walker. Let's go.
Right.
You've got to be able to walk through a crowd. This is something I miss about being single is you can move through a crowd so much quicker.
You can.
Being held back. Being on your phone during a movie.
Oh shit, TV. No. Yeah,
can't stand it. Or actually my partner, I love him dearly, but he does this and he loves it and I hate it, which is fall asleep. He loves to fall asleep on me while we're watching television or something. And
Celia, he's
not gonna do it. And I'm like, fine, but you are not allowed to ask me anything about what is happening.
That is probably like if you said to me, what's your ideal night?
Yeah.
It would involve that. It would be
you like
me
falling asleep.
With my head in the lap of someone that I love
yeah.
watching something and falling asleep.
I know. And he loves it so much, but then I'm like, can you believe that? And then he's asleep. I'm like, oh, God damn it.
Oh, no, that's on him. He's got to catch up the next day.
Yeah, but it's quite yeah. pleasant.
All right, so a slow walker who's rude to the wait staff and a narcoleptic, not for Celia.
Okay.
What about an ex? I mean, obviously oh, we've yeah. heard the
well,
ex
the
story.
Guy, I think I did think about this one. This is another thing that guy did that was not cheating related, but he fucked me. It was so bad. We all did a festival. We did here's the stand up, as I say.
Yeah,
we both had gigs at a festival. I don't know. Out in the hills somewhere, we parked in it. You know, you drive and we had a tent and we parked and it was a million degrees. And he lost everything was my car key in the paddock somewhere.
Oh,
so
silly.
The car was locked and he lost the key and he lost it before the gig. So I couldn't get into the car. My makeup and all the shit was in the car. So I had to do this gig in 40 degrees, couldn't get my stuff. We had to leave. We had to leave the car there. We couldn't find the key. And so we had to leave. So I left my car in like Falls or somewhere interstate. Piece of
now,
shit.
I know this is an extreme question, but his behavior is extreme. And I know that this stuff sends people quite round the bend. So I'm going to ask, do you think he did that deliberately to sabotage your gig?
I don't know, because he was screwed as well. That
right.
seems crazy. I feel like there's other ways to it. Maybe. I know that. I don't know. I think it must have got to him that I was getting one time in front of me, he suggested to another comedian that he wrote my jokes.
There you go. Right? So a very common and often unspoken about part of coercive control or even toxic relationships, again, whatever language everyone's comfortable with, is sabotaging before significant events. So that could be your sister's wedding. It could be a gig. It could be you need to first day of school. For the kids, it could anything, Christmas, and even unintentionally, but I think there's often intent behind it. It's like, Celia, you're about to be center of attention. We're not having that.
Oh my gosh, I had never thought about it.
Right?
It sucks so bad.
I'm saying it's possible.
Yeah, maybe. Hey,
I mean, given the rest of his behavior, wow. Can I just say for all of the people of all genders who are listening who've experienced that, because I think that kind of behavior does cross the gender divide. I think one of the lovely things, and we'll end on this, is watching. I know this isn't always the story, but can I put it this plainly? You won. Look at you.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no.
Look at you.
As I say, I feel I'm incredibly grateful that I met him because I genuinely don't know I would have got into stand-up. It feels... I don't know how I feel about fate and all that kind of stuff, but it felt quite fated and it's fine. I was fine. I came to
not it. Only did you get into stand up, you're better than him. Look at your career go. You've just had a baby. You've met the love of your life.
Yeah.
Like there's all sorts of wonderful things happening that he would not have wanted to happen.
Yeah.
And there's some kind of serendipity, karma's a bitch kind of story there.
Yeah. And think of how much you'd have to see me on television.
So much, Celia. So much. And I am here for it.
No, I don't think back on it with, or I used to, before it, you know, I used to indulge in that as well. If I'd felt wronged, I'd have revenge fantasies.
Right.
Not violent ones, like I'm doing well, like I bump into them at an awards ceremony and they're like, what are you doing here? And I'm like, me, just as my name is being called to go on. Oh, no, that's what it was. For him in particular, he is a huge fan of a particular American comedian. It doesn't matter who it was. And I used to fantasize that he was trying to get in stage door and there was a big queue and they wouldn't let anyone in. And then I walk past him and says the rope for me and goes in and he's like, Celia. And I'm like, oh no. And they're like, do you know that guy? I'm like, no.
In your Dancing with the Stars winning outfit.
Yeah, that's it. Little sequin tutu.
With the mirror ball.
Holding my trophy. Oh, this, sorry, is the shine.
This old thing. I don't know what you're talking about. Oh my God, I couldn't love you more. Now I'm going to put links on socials and in the show notes to your shows, but give us a quick, what's your show about? Where can we see you around Australia?
I'm not a fan of the title. Don't worry about the title is I'm as surprised as you are. It's I'm only doing 10 shows in Melbourne Comedy Festival. I'm sorry, last week of March, I think.
You'll find it. I'll put
And then I'm
links.
doing a few individual shows that aren't on sale yet. I'm doing one in Tassie in 2 weeks, so that'll be the first one. And then we're going to add a few dates as we go. But find me on Instagram and I'll post whenever we do new shows. But it's quite a lot of baby. It's pretty much a catch-up show. So it's the last 4 years of my life, which involved meeting this guy and having a baby. So it's a lot of baby stuff. If that's something that I'm very
You
aware
know
that we're
what?
seeing.
I yes, I think you're too hyper aware of that, if I'm perfectly honest, because I came with Linda last night and saw the show. Linda's a step mum, but she's never had a baby, and we were talking about the show with you, but also after, and she found it completely relatable. So I think just be wary of kind of going, oh, sorry, there's too much baby if you haven't had a baby. I think it's very human, and I mean this genuinely. I really do think you are like the stand up of your generation. You are such a great stand up. You're in safe hands at one of your shows, but there's a vulnerability without it being needy.
Oh my gosh, that's the
You
biggest
know what I
one.
mean?
Oh, that's the dream.
You know, when you go for some and you think, oh shit, you're not through this, you need therapy not to be doing stand up. It's uncomfortable. Like it's a trauma share. Yours goes right up to the line, I reckon, where you kind of go, yes, I feel the pain, but shit, it's still funny.
And that started with the first show, with the cheating show, which I had a conversation with myself. Every line in that show, I had to be able to justify why it was a joke.
Yeah,
Like,
great.
you're not allowed to talk about anything on stage until you're okay with it. Because if the audience can
Yes.
tell if you're not okay, and they're like,
Yeah.
well, I
I
feel.
don't want to leave a show worried for you. You know what I mean? Whereas I leave your show going, oh, me too. We're all right. We're all
Okay.
right.
Look at us. We're out on a
Look at
whim.
us. We're all a bit fucked. How great is that?
Oh gosh. Well, thank you so much. This has been the best time, honestly.
Tuck out the rest. Are you going to come
Happy
back for
back.
sloppy seconds?
I mean, you've got all of the highlights of the best stories, but I'm sure there's other. I'm sure.
Oh, no. I've got so many more questions, but off you go and see that baby, and I will see you very soon and have a great festival.
Thanks, Nelly.
Love you, girl. Bye.
Dear Nelly, I could use some advice, dear Nelly. Yes, some help would be nice, dear Nelly. I'm eager to hear your point of view, dear Nelly. There's a lot to explore, dear Nelly. When you're 40 or more, dear Nelly. So I'm hoping we can talk it through.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, thanks so much for listening to Dear Nelly. Now, don't be shy. I would love to hear your questions and comments. To send me a recording or an email, go to nellythomas.com and follow the links. It's super easy, and you might hear me talk about your question in a future episode. Huge thanks to producer Sam Peterson from the Producer Boy Creative Production Team, and to producer Faye Younger, who, in addition to being an excellent human, is also a brilliant real estate buyer's advocate and can be found at youngerhill.com. Thanks to Acast and all the team. And lastly, to you. Without the listeners, I'm just a middle-aged mole talking shit to no one. Please rate, review, and consider subscribing for $5 a month for a bonus episode and to help me keep the lights on. And tell your bloody mates, would you? I'd really appreciate it. Love yous.